Okay. Let's start. We're on our way to Matan Torah, the event for which the world was created. On the other hand, this period is marred by the death of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim. Eretz Yisrael at the present time is in a state of terrible internal turmoil. Let us address these issues individually and jointly via the Parshas of Achimos Kedoshim. I think the Parshas have a lot to say about the time, the juncture in time that we're passing through, the days of the Sefira, and the present day situation that exists in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, what does it mean to be alive? What is life? So, in Parshas Achrimos, it says, "Vaydav Hashem Moshe Lemur, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem, ani Hashem Elokeichem." Okay, safe enough. "K'maasei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yeshavtem bo, lo sasu, k'maasei Eretz Kenan asher ani mevi'eschem shama, lo sasu v'chukoseim, lo seleichem." So the Torah forbids us from trying to mimic that which we saw in Mitzrayim, trying to mimic that which we will see before, when we enter into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. We should not follow in any of their paths, in any of their mores. Obviously, the Isurim of that are written explicitly in the Torah, it's beyond that, and others we shouldn't. We shouldn't continue even things that are not explicitly Avodah Zarah, that's simple. But things that are part of their culture, clearly part of their culture, representative of their culture, we shouldn't continue. Of course, this is a discussion in its own right, what exactly falls under that category, but let it suffice to say that I'm sure that there are certain things that we could come up with. Continues the Chumash, "Es mishpotai tasu v'schukosai tishmru l'aleches v'hem, ani Hashem Elokeichem." Seems a little odd. In other words, of course you should keep the Torah, or the mishpatim, those that are the clear statutes that we understand, the chukim, those things we understand less, or perhaps not even all that, all at all. We should guard them to walk in their paths, ani Hashem Elokeichem. Okay, we understood that, and I don't know that we need necessarily contrast that with not following the ways of the land of Mitzrayim, the land of the Canaanim, the lands of any of the non-Jewish nations that we find ourselves inhabiting. Okay. "Ushmarkem eschukosai v'smishvatai asher yaseo sama adam v'chai behem ani Hashem." Guard my chukim, my mishpatim, night that a person should do, that a man should do, v'chai behem, and live by them, ani Hashem. So as we said, psukim dalet v'hei appear to be a little bit unnecessary. Of course, keep the Torah. I don't need to contrast it with don't keep the rules of the nations of the world. Don't keep their mores, right? Don't follow their traditions. Don't adapt yourself to their ways that are filled with, oftentimes with clear abominations. I think it contrasts it with, oh, do keep the Torah. There's only one chiddush in these two psukim that seems to be the reason, though it's not immediately understood how, why, that these two psukim find themselves in contrast to not following the ways of the nations of the world, and that be the two words for chai behem, and you shall live by them. Rashi says with regard to v'eschukosai tishmeru, eschukosai tishmeru, right? Keep your chukim, keep the chukim of the Torah. Says Rashi, dvarim sheim gzeres hamelech. These are the decrees of the king. Sheyetzahara meshiv aleim. In other words, unlike mishpatim, where even if the Torah hadn't been mitzaveh, then mortal man would have had to come up with, yeah, some sort of system that at least approximates, mimics the system of Mishpatim. We need civil order. We need Mishpatim. But in contrast to that, the Chukim, so says Rashi, these are Dvarim Shehem Gzeiras HaMelech. Keep my Chukim in addition to my Mishpatim. These are the decree of the king, Shayitzahara Meshiva Lehem. The Yitzahara tries to ask questions on them. Lama Lonu L'shomer? Why are you doing that? But Umus Olam, over the Elilim, Meshivin Alehem. And outside, not just internally are the Yitzahara, but outside, the nations of the world, they all say, Gon Achilas Chazir. They all say, well, why are you Jews doing this? What does this mean? Eating pork, wearing shatnas, right? The effect of mechatas in terms of being a retired person. Chach nemra ani Hashem. Therefore, it says ani Hashem gzeiros gazarti aleichem yatem mishraim lipater. So Rashi says in this context that the ani Hashem, right? The ani Hashem is to tell you, to tell us that I have been gozed this upon you, and you must not try to excuse yourself from it. I mean, that itself is really begs the question. Of course, the Torah is all about Sivuim. It's all about Sivuim. Well, why they say this over here? Well, Sfasemis brings up a fascinating idea. He asks a fascinating question. Not here, but in Parshas Chukas. We'd also talk about the idea of the Chok. There it's the Chok of the Parah Adumah. And he says something that really is unbelievable. He asks the question. Barashi, Lefisha Satan Vumos Ha'olam Monim Yis Yisrael, right? Not exactly the same question, the terminology we find over here, but similar enough. I guess we could delve into why Rashi changed the terminology, but it's very similar. The Satan and the nations of the world, here Rashi uses the nations of the world in the Yitzhara, okay? Well, I don't want to get into that in a moment. Kasuba Chuka, right? They ask questions on it, and therefore it's called a Chuka. The Kasha. This is difficult, says Sfasemis. Ibe emes ein batam. If a chok is something that has no explanation to it, etzarach l'haytam demonim es Yisrael. We don't need to mention the nations of the world, the Satan, the Yitzhara. There's no tam. What do I have to say that they ask the question? There's no tam. So even if we're being pure in our approach, even if we're being genuine, there's no tam. How are we supposed to relate something you don't understand? It says the Torah. It's a gzera. Do it. Whether you understand that or not. Okay. But it doesn't say that. It says the nations of the world. It says the Yitzhara. It says the Satan. They're asking the questions. Why aren't we asking the question? I mean, we can accept, but why don't we ask the question? Elanira says Fasemis. Sheyesh batam. There is a tam. It's not that it has no tam. Ach yef shela hasigatam ad achar tikun haguf. Until a person's relationship with the physical world, until a person's relationship with his physical self is at least in some stage of rectification, he can't understand, he can't comprehend the tam. Why? Is it a barrier? Physicality is a barrier? Listen to what Sfasemis says. Mitzad b'china achitzonios ein tam l'chukas Hashem. From the outside, indeed, you can't comprehend it. Aval hamamin sofu lahavin atam. But a person who truly believes, relies, attaches himself to Hashem, will ultimately understand the tam. Ki divrei Torah hem hipuch divrei olam hazeh. Divrei Torah, in our relationship with them, are the opposite of Inyani Ol Mazeh. Listen to what he says. It's exquisite. Hem hipuch divrei Ol Mazeh sha'tam mevi lema'aseh. Tam brings about action. The experience of Tam in Ol Mazeh is what brings a person to follow through in action. He's accustomed to feeling the tam, the pleasure of the tam, the excitement of the tam, the taste. And that results in his following through the path that will bring him to that tam again, and again, and again. Yeah, Because he wants to taste, he desires the taste of Olam Hazeh, va'avolav, and its vapor, its emptiness. Oso sum, and I might add, the oso sum, the oso sum, the oso sum, the oso sum, v'charkach nim'asim alav, and then they become repulsive to him. They're boring. It's not new anymore. The tam, as it were, begins to recede. It's no longer there. The Torah lehipuch, and Torah, on the contrary, is the exact opposite. Aydei ha-maiseh, through the action, af she'enu mis'av lehem, even though initially a person doesn't desire to do that action, zoche achakach lehasig hatam, person enters into a new world of taste. The action that is done unlocks the door. It's the key that unlocks the door to a new plane of existence. And once he enters, once he steps through the looking glass, as it were, into this new plane of existence, there he finds a new tam. And as he accustoms himself to the action again, then it brings him to another tam, and to another tam. Lis avos lehem. And he desires to continue that process. Omnam ein tam zem musag. This tam is not comprehensible. Rak lemishlo tam tam olam hazeh. It's very difficult because we're in a struggle. We live in this physical world. The physical world, as it were, proffers before us experiences of pleasure, right? We desire to have that pleasure, and then we follow through with the experiences. And that causes us to desire the pleasure, and we follow through the experiences. So eventually we get to a point at which it doesn't mean anything anymore. Whereas the Torah, as he says, is the exact opposite. So these two things are in conflict. But since the tam, right, the tam of Olam Hazeh is immediately available, it tends to overwhelm. So it's difficult for us to enter into that other system. It's a battle. It's a struggle. It's called Nuchamas HaYetzer. Ukefimashe poresh odam atzmo metavos karchzochel hasig tam hakdusha. But the struggle to release oneself from that worldview of where what appears immediately pleasureful is what dominates my worldview, and then in turn causes me to follow through the action, and then I desire more and follow through the action, etc. The more the person struggles to reverse the tide of that cycle, that's the degree to which, as he invests himself in the actions of the Torah, that he begins to taste a little bit of the tam of Kedusha. This description is really fascinating. It's really fascinating. You see that the Sfasemis wasn't necessarily addressing the question that we had. What's the point of saying, after the Pesukim have told us, don't follow the paths of Mitzrayim, don't follow the paths of Canaan. And then as we say, follow the paths of the Torah, v'chai behem, we said, okay, of course we follow the paths of the Torah. We said the only additional piece of information was v'chai behem. New, okay, right? That's great, but why is it brought here? Why is it in contrast to the actions of Mitzrayim? But according to the Sfasemis, we understand. The Torah is very deeply telling us you have two ways to approach the world. You can either approach the world where the tam is almost immediately available, and you desire that tam because it is so immediately available. That causes you to do action, which in turn causes you to search for the tam again, which is immediately available, and action and tam and action and tam and action, etc. And eventually, as the Sfasemis points out, this becomes boring. The payoff isn't there anymore. Or you can involve yourself in the action in the system of Torah, and it will bring you to a new level of Tom, a new appreciation of Tom. And since the Torah is endless, right, unlike Olam Hazeh, which is not endless, but the Torah is endless, as you attach yourself more, so in two, you're exposed to a new Tom, and a new Tom, and a new Tom, and a new Tom, endlessly, endlessly, endlessly. I dare say that this entire discussion is really encapsulated by a billboard that's, for better or worse, is indelibly imprinted upon my memory. I remember when I used to arrive at the airport, Kennedy or LaGuardia, and traveled back to Washington Heights, there was always this gigantic billboard. I can't remember if it was on the Grand Central or the Van Wyck, whatever it was, this gigantic billboard for Newport cigarettes, and it said, "Alive with Pleasure," right? And there, of course, was a water scene by a mountain, a small waterfall, a brook, etc., with men and women, not totally clad, cavorting near this water in the, you know, picturesque, yeah, mountain scene. The title was "Alive with Pleasure," and then in the corner was a little black banner on the billboard. That I'm not sure it was always there, but it's only at one point or other it had to be added there. It said, "The Surgeon General says smoking is dangerous for your health." Right, basically saying if you smoke, you'll kill yourself. Right? I don't think they were trying to be mechaven to Sfas Emes, but I dare say that certainly his explanation of how Tom brings about action, and then eventually leads to, no pun intended, a dead end, is on that billboard. The Torah is the opposite. You will live through them. You will experience new life. There will be a new alive with pleasure of the Torah if you choose the route of commitment, which in turn opens up a new plane of Tom. Very interesting. That's one point. And I think as we march towards Matan Torah, I think it's something that really behooves us to think about. It really does. As we go towards Matan Torah, we have to realize that our goal is to make our connection to Torah totally auxiliary. It doesn't mean we're going to quit our jobs. Doesn't mean we're going to go hide in the mountains someplace. But it does mean, in terms of our focus, the Torah is not just something secondary, ancillary, yet to the main focus of life. Because really, in order to experience the total effect of the Torah, the sweetness of the Torah, it has to be very clear what our priorities are. Our priorities, not just in terms of actions, but priorities in terms of how do we view, right, life. B'chai b'hem, what is life? Is life Newport cigarettes? And the Torah is a very beautiful addendum on that, God forbid. Or is life the Torah? Life is the Torah. And Olam Hazeh, I will deal with according to the guidelines of the Torah. We're going towards Matan Torah. This has to be what we want to accomplish in this process. Further, in addition, this brings us to another usage of v'chai b'hem. Chazal learned from v'chai b'hem, v'lo shiyomus b'hem, the diuk. You shall live by them, right? You shall not die by them. Says the Talmud in Sanhedrin, Am Rav Yochum Shum Rav Shimon ben Yotzadok, Nimne v'gomer v'aliyas beit mitzah b'lud, right, famous Gemara, concluded in Lud, Kol Maveir Shevatorah Im Omrim La'adam Avor V'al Tehoreg Ya'avor V'al Yehoreg. Any of the mitzvahs of the Torah that a person is confronted with a terrible choice, either you should transgress the Torah or your life ends now, you should transgress the Torah. Yavor, v'al yehorig. And not allow himself to be killed. Chutz, says the Gemara, be'avodas chachovim, gilarayas, u'shvichas damim. Right, there are other conditions also as well when we talk about Chil Hashem, etc. But we're not getting involved in that at the moment right now. Three of cardinal sins, Avodah Zarah, Gila Rayas, Shvichas Damim. Again, like I said, there are other circumstances where a person is mechuyev as well to be Moser Nefesh, but that's not a topic at the moment. Why Yavar Al Yahareg? Why is it, except for those three cardinal sins, a person should be over and not allow himself to be killed? Says Rashi there in Sanhedrin, because it says v'chai behem, lo shi'omos behem. In other words, the source of transgressing everything of the Torah, we're talking about individual mitzvahs and not unique circumstances of Chil Hashem, etc., and Shas Hashmad, and all those things, etc., etc., etc. We're talking about normal circumstances, just these three averas, let's say they're in private, etc. One always transgresses, unless it is one of the three cardinal sins. So again, we're not discussing right now Avodas Chachamim, nor are we discussing Gila Reis. We're going to discuss Shvichas Damim, because that's relevant to our topic. Says the Gemara Psachim, Shvichas Damim, what's the makor? That Shvichas Damim, one, if one has the terrible choice, either kill the other Jew, or be killed, one must allow himself to be killed. Why? Svaro, says the Talmud. It's a svara. It's logical. Ki ahu da asla kame de Rava, like this person who came before Rava. Amale, mari durai amali. Some would quote Gentile person in a position of power. Said to me, zil katle laplanya. He told me, either you kill so-and-so, v'ilo katlina lach, or if not, I will kill you. Amale liktaluch velo tiktol. So Rava told him, allow yourself to be killed, don't kill anybody else. Why? My chazis didama didach. What? How do you see that your blood is sumak tve, is more red than the other individuals? Dilma dama dahu gavra sumak tve. Perhaps the other individual's blood is redder than yours. Says Rashi, an explanation there in the Gemara Pesachim. My chazis tedama didach sumak. How do you know that your blood is redder? You don't know that, right? Perhaps his blood is redder. What does that mean? Again, there's more than one way to explain this Gemara. The Adramah has a different way of understanding this Gemara. But Rashi says, Klomar klum basili shal al kach el medin shata yodea. You're asking me this question, right? Says Rashi, an explanation for what Rav was saying. You're coming to ask me this question because you know she'ein mitzvah omedes b'fnei pikuach nefesh. You know that there is no mitzvah except for the three cardinal sins that we said before that stands in the path of pikuach nefesh. You are meant to save your life rather than avoid transgressing, right, one of the prohibitions of the Torah except for those three cardinal sins. And that's why you're coming to ask me. Perhaps I should kill this other individual so I should save my life. Pikuach nefesh. I have an iser not to kill, and I have my life, and the Torah, record, values my life more than it values the Torah itself, and therefore I should kill this other individual. V'savrata, Rava says, you understand. Sha'av zu titche mifnei pikuach nafshecha. What we just explained, that seems logical to you. Ein ze dom l'shar averus. No, this is not similar to other averus. De mikol makom yesh kan ibud nefesh. Because in the end, there is going to be a loss of life. Not yours, the other Jews. The Torah only permitted the transgression, the negation of the Torah, the negation of the mitzvah of the Torah, for the sake of the preciousness of a Jewish soul. But here, if you kill him, so in addition to your transgressing the Torah, there's also been loss of a Jewish soul. Your only claim might be, but my soul is more precious than his soul. Right? Okay. Who says that your soul is more precious to the Creator, right, more than his soul? Yosef Mishil said, Dil Mishil ze chaviva tvei. Maybe his is more precious. And the result is, we've lost a nefesh, right? And in addition, we had an avera. Better you should be passive, right? There'll be a loss of a soul, it's true. We don't know if yours or his is more precious, but there won't be an Aveira. There won't be an Aveira. The Torah remains intact. Now, that being the case, the terminology in Rashi and Sanhedrin is also, right? Miodea shehe dam chaviv v'noa liotzach ha-yosem idam chavercha. How do you know his blood, right, is not more precious than your blood? So now we ask ourselves, let's say we're talking about a person, not a person who deserves to die, right? Not a person who's, you know, I don't know. We know he's chayav misa. But let's say a person who's, he's a Rasha. He's an Avarian. He's over Averas. He's not chayav misa for those Averas. But he's not an observant person. Again, I don't want to get into, you know, what would say that he's chayav misa or not, but whatever. He wears shatnas, right? He speaks lashon hara. He eats treif. I see him being over on certain isurim that are, he's not deserving of death, but he is not going to get shlishi in shula. And I know I'm doing my best. I'm not doing things he's doing. It's mind blowing. The Gemara doesn't differentiate. So here, Rabbinim Mipshisch, right? Rabbinim Mipshisch, the father of that whole stream of Chassidus, very classical thinking, deep philosophical, as it were, if you want to use the word, perhaps not philosophical, but very deep, deep Chassidic ideas. The world of Kotzk, the world of the Sfas and the Kedush Rim, the world of the Meshiloach, the world of Tzadok HaKohen, etc., etc. Rabbinim, the beginner of that school, perhaps the second in line after the Yid, whatever, he says, Ani Omer Lachem, he told his Talmidim, Hochacha al pi divrei Torah shemechuyev kol echad lios onav. We see here, the Torah commands you to be an Anav. In other words, to live in a non-egocentric universe, in a God-centric universe. Because otherwise, how could you possibly digest, right, this idea of Yaharig Valyavar when it comes to Ritzicha, when the other person is an Avarian? Afshihu Rasha, says Rabbinim, Bevadai, Mechuyev Ani Limsoras Atzmi Lemisa Lakaim Yaharig Valyavar. Bakorch Tzarach Lomar Atam, Koshikos of Rashi, my Chazis Tenafshecha Chaviva Lifnei Hamokom. Why? I'm observing. He's not. Again, he's not going to get Shlishi. He may not be kosher for Eidos either. We won't be somach on him as a Mashkiach. Maybe we can't eat his food. But we don't know if his soul might be more precious. Why? Because he's struggling with something very difficult. That's fascinating. That doesn't mean a person you see as an Avarian, you should give him shlishi. It doesn't mean that. That's not your business. The rules of the Torah, how you treat a person. You can't be someone kind of shrita if he is, right? Perhaps, what do you call it? Perhaps lahachis, whatever. You can't use him as an aid. You can't use him as a witness. That's the way we treat him here. But we don't know how he's looked at in heaven. Our business is not to deal with him as he's looked at in heaven. We're not privy to that. That's Hashem's business. We treat him down here the way the Torah tells to treat him. When it comes to taking his life rather than our life, we have to take consideration whose soul is more precious to the Creator. Perhaps his struggles are unbelievable. That's already a big thing. Go no. Again, it's not our business. It's only our business insofar as that I can't say that his soul is more precious than mine. Or my soul is more precious than his. That's the only place where it comes to play here in this world. Because like I said, we're not going to take him as an aide. We're not going to take him as a mashgiach. Right? But nonetheless, what's the point of saying this? It's not to tell us that Rishayim are better than Tzadikim. Right? That's not the point. The point is to state, right, how precious is a Jewish soul. How we must write off, right, and think, oh, it's no big deal. We'll write him off. He's a nothing anyway. It's not so simple. If for whatever reason we can't join forces with him, it shouldn't be with glee. It shouldn't be with who cares anyway. He's going to hell. It should be necessary but regrettable. It's not like I'm happy about this. Just like I shouldn't be happy about, God forbid, having my little toe amputated, God forbid. Oh, it's only a little toe. But it's my little toe. What if it's even worse than that? It's a fascinating point. It relates back to what we said before. We're marching towards, right? We saw one understanding of V'chai B'hem in the context of Psukim, of how our worldview has to be, yet the Torah is the essential focal point of our existence. And that's the way we relate through the Torah. We relate to Olam Hazeh, not that Olam Hazeh is our focal point and the Torah is an interesting moon in orbit around our Olam Hazeh. The same thing also, we said we're marching through a time period where the 24,000 Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva died because they didn't show proper cover to one another. They didn't value one another properly. Right? Believe me, they didn't insult one another. They just didn't value each other properly, considering how big they were and how big their compatriots were. This is a little bit of a different point over here. Every Jew, right, is not simple. Again, that doesn't make Rishayim into Tzadikim. But every Jew is valuable. Hakirekach, that when we come to a situation of Yarad Val Yavor, when it comes to his life or our life, the Torah tells us, let your life be taken. Don't take his. This is not exactly the same point, but it is a fascinating story. A story from the Gemara in the Yerushalmi, Maseches Tainis. There was a drought. Rabbi Avo, the great Rabbi Avo, had a dream. There was a person by the name of Pentakaka. Cool name, huh? Right? The Penta, Pentakaka, right? The Penta is that he was over five Averas every day. Rabbi Avo had a dream that if Pentakaka leads the Tzibur in Tfila, in their fasting, then rain will come. Well, he hears this in his dream. He gets up, he says, who's Pentakaka? I guess they found it a little bit interesting. Like, why would the Rebbe want to know about him? He said, no, I want to know who he is. And they say, well, we'll bring him to you. And so they bring Pentakaka to Rebbe Avo. And Rebbe Avo says to him, well, what do you do? And he says, I run a brothel. Right? Now, were the participants in this brothel Jewish or not Jewish? That's the point of discussion. But anyway, we're not giving him Shlishi. And what does he do? He cleans the place up, right? Canaria was a budding theater, right, where they had all sorts of raucous type of entertainment, ribald entertainment. And he used to set things up over there. He used to clean all the linens. He would entertain the staff, we could call it, singing and dancing, etc. And sort of always says, really? That's what you do? He says, mm-hmm. He says, did you ever do anything good? He says, well, I'll tell you, one time I was cleaning up the theater and I heard crying from behind one of the pillars. And I went to see what it was, and there was a young woman there. She's crying. I said to her, why are you crying? She says, my husband has been imprisoned and I can't get him out. I don't have the money to get him out. So I thought perhaps I could work here and make some money and I'd be able to extricate him from prison where he's suffering. And he said, uh-huh. And I went and took, says Pentakaka, I took my bed, my belongings, and I sold them. I sold them. And I gave the money. And I said, go redeem your husband. Don't sin. And Rabbi Avos says, you're worthy to daven. Here's a person who's not getting shlishi. Not shishi. We're not going to say to everybody, oh, guess what, I'm best friends with the Pentakaka. Right? It might cause us to be suspect. He had to overcome a lot to make that decision. That's not the world that he came from at all. But he made that decision, that Mesiras Nefesh. He was worthy to lead the Tzibur and bring an end to the drought. Again, that doesn't mean Rishayim are better than Tzadikim. It doesn't mean that we should start being mechabit all the Rishayim, right? We have rules on how we deal with Rishayim. Those who are not Tinoko Shanishbu, those who are Tinoko Shanishbu, right? Those who are responsible for what they're doing is wrong. Those who are not responsible because they were never properly educated, etc., 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 etc. But in terms of the essence of the person's soul and what his status is in heaven, we're not privy. Interesting. Right? There's my part of what to be said. It's perhaps not as simple as I'm making it. But it's a point to ponder. Don't write a person off, and certainly not with glee. Oh, who cares about him anyway? Let's go a step further. Parshas Kedoshim. It says, Dabar el kol adas b'nei Yisrael v'amata aleim kedoshim tiyu. Ki kodash ani elokeichem. Dabar el kol adas b'nei Yisrael melamed shenem ra parshas u b'hakel. Neshirov gufei Torah tluyim ba. Right? This parsha was said at Hakel, right? Because most of the, or many of the, what do you call it, the fundamentals of Torah, it's almost like a mini Aseret HaDibros, are found in Parshas Kedoshim. So Mizrahi asked the question. Rashi tells us, Malamit Shinemar Parshas Ubahakel, right? When everybody's there. Because it's got so many mitzvahs in it. So Mizrahi asks, he says, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu taught Kol HaTorah Kula. Aval Shar Parshios, Aval Bishinemar L'Chol Yisrael, Al Pi HaBarais HaShnuim Be'er Erevin, Maisel Rashi, Zal B'Sof Parshios Kisisa, Mikol Makom Lo Hayu Kulam Yachad HaKel Echad. So, record. Everybody heard Kol HaTorah Kula. So why does that have to be done in HaKel? Everybody had learned all the mitzvos. The Ketzet Seder Mishnah, it says in Erevin. Moshe Rabbeinu would first teach Aaron, and then afterwards, what do you call it, Nadav Aviu, what do you call it, Elazar Vitamar, etc. And then after the Skeinim, and then afterwards, what do you call it, everybody heard it. How many times did they hear it? So some people heard it four times, some people, what do you call it? But everybody heard it. Everybody heard it four times. So, what's the big deal? Say this is Hakel, everybody has to be there. Everybody has to be there for everything. There's a lot of answers to this question. At first, the Mizrahi suggests, they weren't all there at the same time. And since this has so many fundamentals of the Torah in it, says the Mizrahi, that it's important that everybody should be there at the same time, because this way, if somebody says, or somebody's not doing it, there'll be someone else there, say, wait a second, you and I were there at the same time, I heard that this is not permitted, right? It's a matter of a point of order, whereas if everybody were there at different times, in other words, they were brought in, what do you call it, a section of Klal Yisrael at a time, a section of Klal Yisrael next, another section of Klal Yisrael, right? So then I couldn't necessarily say, well, I heard it this way. You could say, I heard it that way. But if we're all there together, right, on such fundamental points, you can't say, I record, well, maybe he said it to you differently. Ah, I was there. I know what he said. I know what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Okay. Again, there are a lot of different answers here. That's not such a simple answer. The Panim Yafos, right? The Panim Yafos says an interesting idea. He said, since ki inyan ze karamosha liyom matatora yom hakol, the whole tzibur has to be there for matan Torah. Ki be'es matan Torah shekol ala kodesh baruch hu kol ha-Torah kulo v'aser sadibus lo hiyu yicholun lekabel shorosh ha-dvarim ad shenikolu kulam ba'achdus v'chein amru v'yikra sheparsha zu aser sadibus kulun besocha. So the Panim Yafos, the Palaflo, says that since this is a minor Matan Torah because the Yesodos of the Aseres Hadibros are all found in Parshas Kedoshim, so therefore it was said at Hakel because something which, as it were, parallels, right, Aseres Hadibros has to be given in a Matan Torah milieu. And that can only be done when all of Klal Yisrael is there, just as they were at Matan Torah. So to also had to be said by Hakel. That's how he answers the question of the Mizrahi. So Mizrahi had one way of answering it, that when Moshe Rabbeinu taught the rest of the Torah, he didn't teach all of Klal Yisrael at once. And again, it's a difficult answer. People argue with it. But even one group would come in, and another group, and another group, another group. It's not the pashta, certainly, of the Gemara. But that's what he says, again. And in order to preserve the ability of people to be able to say to one another, hey, you and I were there at the same time. You're not doing what it said, right? And since these are such fundamental, right, Aseres Hadibros type mitzvahs, so therefore, it had to be said to them all at once. That was the Mizrahi's answer. The Panim Yafos' answer is more of a hashkafedic answer, as it were, right? Not such a practical one, per se, but a pragmatic, I should say, but a hashkafedic one. It's like a mini Matan Torah, and therefore has to be given to all Klal Yisrael, just as Klal Yisrael was entirely present for Matan Torah. But the Svasemis says a different idea. Svasemis says, Kedoshim to you, Parshazu Nerma Bahakil. Sheinu Yochol, in other words, in the context of Kedusha, searching for Kedusha, Sheinu Yochol Liskos La Kedusha Raka Yedea Bitul La Klal Yisrael. Since the topic, the broad topic of the Parsha is Kedusha, Kedoshim to you, that can only be accomplished through a beetle to all of Klal Yisrael. You want to achieve Kedusha, you can't cut yourself off from the rest of Klal Yisrael. You can fulfill this mitzvah and that mitzvah, the next mitzvah, etc., right? But you'll never achieve Kedusha. Tichsiv kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. Ki kishem ba'achdus echot. L'chein rov dini parsha zusha ben olam ha'chaveru. He said there's so many mitzvahs in this parsha of ben olam ha'chaveru. Because if we are one, then through our attachment to Torah, we can achieve Kedusha. And that's why this had to be said at Hakel. Because it is the introductory path to entering a world of Kedusha. This is very similar to the idea that we spoke about before. That if you cut yourself off, God forbid, from Klal Yisrael. You're making a big mistake. As the Sfasamer says here, you'll never achieve Kedusha. You never know how precious the other soul is. Each soul is needed. Like the Shlosh says, Yisrael is Rosh Tevos, Yud, Sin, Shin, whatever, Resh, Aleph, Lamed, Yesh, Shishim, Riba, Osios, the Torah. Every Yid is a letter in the Sefer Torah. So once again, there are ways that we deal with people who are not Shomer Torah Mitzvos. Some are considered Tinot Nishpu, some are considered Rishoyim even. But we should never be, as it were, happy that we are cut off from them. And if we could have all avoid it, we shouldn't cut them off from us, God forbid. Right? We should try to avoid that at all costs. So let's go back to our initial preface. We're on our way to Matan Torah, the event for which the world was created. In order to do that, we have to know what it means to be alive. Not using the measuring stick, the yardstick of the world, but using the yardstick of the Chai Bahem, the Torah taught us, that we discussed earlier. On the other hand, the period is marred by the death of Rabbi Kiva's 24,000 Talmidim. The march to Matan Torah must be one of unity, to the best of our ability. There are times when it's not possible, but we have to make an extra effort, because Kedusha can only be achieved when Klai is put together. Yisrael, Yesh Shishim Riba Osios HaTorah. We want as many of those representatives of the letters of the Torah to be united in order to be Makabel the Torah. We must make sure that there is no division if we can all avoid any that division. And in terms of current events, Eretz Yisrael is in a state of internal turmoil. Right? It's not good. We can't stay the devil with them. Right? That doesn't mean we have to roll and play dead. That doesn't mean we have to agree. That doesn't need to be, we have to turn ourselves into sycophants and say, oh, you're wonderful, right? Chanufa, the people who are not Beseder. But if we have to realize, in the end, right, it's not so easy to cut them off. Not at all. Right? In many cases, b'chal not possible. Right? We're all in it together. So, b'ezer Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us Yat Shemaya, all the Jewish people, all over the world, and b'fat now in Eretz Yisrael. And we should, when we arrive at Shavuos, we say we're able to sing, right, sincerely, Uvalu Chul and Bivris Yachad, Nasu Nishama Amru Ki Echad. Be well.